This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers.
Afternoon. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 282 of Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them. We are recording live from the National APCO Conference here in Baltimore, Maryland, and I have with me today a live audience. Let's hear it. Very sexy. Very nice. That was good. I like that. So we just finished up episode 281, which is Imagine Listening. We started out emotional. We told the hard stories. And now we're going to talk about the lighter side of dispatch. We're going to talk about some of the funnier stuff that goes on that, you know, you hear on radio, late night talk shows, all of that stuff. But now we're getting it from those who lived it. So does anyone have a funny 911 story that they would like to share? And really quick, before we get to whoever's going to share a story first, you can tell any story you want. No names, addresses, nothing that's going to get my ass sued. All right? I'll take it out in post-production. So if you do say something that you feel like, eh, maybe I shouldn't have said, I take it out in the end, so it's fine. And it's okay if you swear as well. So it's okay. All right, let's do this. Whoa, and not one person rose their hand? Oh, okay, we've got some over here. I was going to say, damn, what happened? We can go back to the emotional stuff if you want.
You can see it better from the second floor. What can you see, ma'am? The penis drawn in the snow.
Wow. It only takes one. It only takes one person for the stories to go downhill, so... All right.
We're introducing PD dispatchers to fire dispatchers before we actually combined several years ago. Coworker takes a call. Kid is fighting with his mom. Okay, send them over to the police. The police dispatcher we're combining takes the call right behind us. He hangs up, our fire dispatcher, takes another call. He hears, "You're smoking wet." Starts to freak out. "What the fuck? No, that can't. That's not what he said." "Calm down." "She said, you're soaking wet."
You gotta love it.
All right, so we have a newer dispatcher that received a call from our county roads area. Said they were doing some construction, some striping along the right shoulder of the highway. And when he put it out, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but we do play it for him all the time. But he did put it out saying, "There are road workers stripping in the roadway ahead of you." And all of our units started responding that way.
All right.
We get a lot of calls from that bounce off the cell tower that the people are in another state. It bounces in our state. We have to transfer them out. So I get a call from this guy, and he's being a real problem child, just being hard to get along with. And I said, "Sir, I have to transfer you to this agency." And he kept going, so I clicked, and I thought that I was muted, and I... And I started singing, "Why me, Lord?" And this guy goes, "Excuse me?" And I went, "Oh, God, no."
Okay, so this is kind of an open mic situation, which we've all had from time to time. But fortunately, this was not exactly my fault. And that's the story I'm sticking to. Only because there's documented proof of it. So one of the patrol cars was in the shop getting repaired, and when they decided to energize the car, it energized the microphone. Lo and behold, the mechanic, who was using some rather choice words about a vehicle that he just picked up at the fucking auction, and the fucking thing won't run. And I tried the fucking ignition, I tried the fucking timing, I tried the battery, and it turned into 6.5 minutes of an open mic of this mechanic talking to another mechanic, using the F-bomb, to the point where we were all entertained. We wanted to know what was going on with the car. And it got to the point where we finally, he picks up the phone and he says, "Officer so-and-so who?" We finally figured out, you know, they realized what car it was and what mechanic it was to get them to turn off the radio. But we actually had people call in afterwards who didn't get to hear the end, that the fucking engine was seized, was the last part. They called in to find out what was the outcome of the story, including the press. If anybody would like to hear it, see me afterwards, and I'll give you the link where you can actually listen to the whole thing. It's out there.
Thank you for that.
So we all know that putting people on hold is like you have to do a double take to make sure you see that yellow little button. Oh, cool, they're on hold. Perfect. I had this lady call. She had just disconnected on the phone with one of our officers. So she calls back and she's like, "I want to talk to him again." She tells me his badge number, and I'm like, "He's a night shift officer. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, he's not working." So I go over to my partner who is working his band, and I'm like, "Oh, like, you know, is officer so-and-so working?" And he was like, "Well, no." And I'm like, "This lady on the phone, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck she's talking about then." And then all I hear is, "I'll tell you what the fuck I'm talking about." Like, and so I look at my screen and I'm like, "Oh, hey." Like,
so this call came from a very, very small town. I don't even think they have their own school at all. But this lady, she was at a gas station, and she called in hysterics. She said, "There's a truck driver outside. I'm in the bathroom, and I can't get out. I think that he has the door jammed and is going to attack me." And she is trying to keep it cool, and she's not doing it at all. And she's like, "Can you please get somebody here to help me out? I think he's going to assault me or abduct me or something." And she's like, "Oh my God, the door says push." So she had been trying for I don't know how long to pull on this door that it's not meant to be pulled on, and she felt like the biggest idiot that ever existed.
So in our center, a lot of the guys play fantasy football, and there's a day where, I mean, I think every good story starts with, "I thought I was muted," or "I had an open mic." So we were doing shift change, and one of the guys came in, and they were talking fantasy football, and two guys that were playing each other that week, and the guy leaned back and didn't realize that his transmit button had gotten pushed when he did that, and he said, "So did you rock my ass today?" And as you can imagine, the instant messages just started blowing up, because one of the guy who was in charge that day goes, "Whoa, that just went out." So it was we had fun with that one for a while.
So it was after school and kids are going home, and I get a 911 call from a concerned parent who says she just saw 4 teenagers in the back of a pickup with a large inflated dildo going westbound, whatever the street was. And I seriously could not figure out how to word this on the radio. All I could think of was the word ejaculation. I could not. So I ended up with, they're making the motions. And the officers, you know, they want you to say what really is going on. Tell us why is it a lewd conduct? And, you know, I'm trying to describe it. I couldn't even talk, so.
So mine's about me. I was there for 12 years in one agency in a different state, transferred over to a new one. And shortly out of training on phones, I got my first call, and it was on a highway, which is now an area that has certain type of livestock that I wasn't used to. So my very first call comes in, and it's somebody reporting a traffic hazard, and they wanted to let me know that there were some bulls in the highway. And I said, "You mean the kind you eat cereal from?" Said, "No, ma'am, the kind with the horns."
Yes, thank you. My story comes from, I live on the Gulf Coast of Gulf of Mexico, so we have a lot of tourists that come down. And it started out with a gentleman calling in and saying, "I have found a shark." And my first thought that comes into my head is that, okay, a fisherman has caught a shark, threw it on the side of the road, and I'll need to get the highway department in to pull this shark out. Well, as I get to talking to him, I said, "Well, sir, where is the shark? Where is it located at?" He goes, "Well, it's in the water." And I go, "Well, sir, that's where he's supposed to be. That's where he lives." I said, "Exactly what are you wanting to do? And or what do you want me to do about it?" And he was like, "Well, I just wanted to let someone know. And what should I do?" And my statement was, "Don't go in the water." And we disconnected.
I was putting out a call while my partner was putting it in and not quite reading what he said until I got to the part where he had put in the person was shitting on the chair. I never said shitting on the chair on the air, but I couldn't speak for about 5 minutes. And I couldn't tell this story until about a year ago without laughing.
So my coworker took a call, old lady fell, disconnected. She called back, I got it. So I verify the address and everything. I pull up the card and I'm looking at the name. It was spelled W-I-N-G-O-T. I'm like, Wingot, okay, that's kind of a weird name. She said, "Ma'am, is this Wingot?" Silence. She said, "Do what?" I knew it wasn't her name anymore. So, is this the lady that fell? And she's like, "Yeah." And so I asked her name later, and it was not Wingot. It was the most simple name you could think of. And my coworker started laughing in the background. As I'm talking to her, she's like, "Oh, I had no idea what her name was. I just put what I thought I heard." I was like, "You gave her the name of a goblin from Harry Potter. What was wrong with you?"
So I received a 911 call. It's fire season in Idaho right now, and a guy called, and he was coming down Highway 20, and there's always a lot of fires over there, and he called in. He's like, "There's a huge fire, like, off in the distance, and the further the more I keep driving, the bigger it keeps getting." And I'm like, okay, trying to get in a general area of where this supposed fire is, because we have a few, and he's driving closer, and then he goes, "Oh, fuck." And I'm like thinking that, like, I'm like, shit, there's like a house on fire now or something. Like, it's bigger than what it is. And he goes, "I'm such an idiot." And I'm like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "It's just the moon."
So my last round of working nights, I was working with a really good friend of mine that I've known since I was little. And it's about 2:30 in the morning, and we get this call, and this lady is laughing hysterically. And so by the time I get her address and, you know, a good callback number for her in case we, you know, somehow got disconnected, I finally got it out of her that she had a snake in her vehicle. And she proceeded to tell me how scared she was of the snakes and that she had clients in the back of her vehicle that she had left in the vehicle. She didn't want to get them out, so she got herself out. She then proceeded to tell me you know, she's like, I've never had to call 911 before, and it's because of this fucking snake in her engine. And she's like, I don't care if you call the Department of Wildlife. I don't care if you call a deputy. She goes, somebody needs to get this fucking snake out of my car before I leave. And so I said, did you happen to see if it was like poisonous or not? And she's like, ma'am, I wasn't going to stick around to see what kind of snake it was. And I said, okay, but you left your clients in the back seat. And she goes, well, I had to look out for myself. And then at the next point, she was laughing so hard that I had to mute the phone for a couple minutes because I was laughing so hard. My partner had laughed so hard on the radio that my sergeant on duty with the sheriff's department was laughing. So by the time they got there, she gave us the wrong address. She gave us a different location that's about 20 miles away. So when I proceeded to tell her that she gave us the wrong address and that they had to travel a little further, she was laughing hysterically even more that she gave us the wrong address. And the situation was not ideal for 2:30 in the morning. And her clients were still in the backseat.
So I dispatch for police only, and it's standard that we send minimum of two officers on a variety of different fire-related calls, including structure fires. So I send some of mine to a house fire, and then they're required, once they're on scene, to update their sergeant after every so many minutes. And so one of my officers gets on scene, and a few minutes later, she raises the sergeant and says, hey, Sergeant, it's not that big, everybody's out of the house, fire's in, doing overhaul, making sure, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. Homeowner says she was frying chicken on the stove, and she doesn't know how to fry chicken, so it caught fire. Update you more later. So a few minutes go by, and she raises the sergeant again, and she says, 1117, sergeant's confirmed it was chicken on the stove, no major structural damage, no injuries, but the chicken's ruined. And we don't get to play much on the radio, so I responded with, time of death is 22:23.
So years ago, I had a trainee, and we work in a fairly large metropolitan area, so you might get a PSAP you don't intend to get. So often you need to ask what city they're in. And he determined the call was in the city, not on the freeway, and he proceeded to ask, what shitty are you in? And the caller just said, huh? And he repeated, what shitty are you in? And they were still confused because they didn't know what he wanted. This was back when you answered the phone with, what's your emergency, rather than what's the location? And again, what shitty are you in? For a third time, so I took the call over and verified what city they were in. And subsequently transferred them. But what shitty are you in lived for a long time.
Things that you never thought you'd hear in dispatch. Ma'am, please don't throw the machete at that car. Well, the suspects have blue faces when they actually had blue masks on their faces. And my favorite, the man had a hat with a heart on it, although when you dispatched it over the radio, it was a hat with a heart on.
Okay, so I was working phones one day, and I get a 911 hang-up, so I call back, and somebody answers, which is always amazing when they do that, and, you know, I'm like, hi, it's the sheriff's office, your phone dialed 911, and he's like, I'm sorry, it was a butt plug. And I'm just like, dead silence, and then he's like, butt dial. I'm hanging up the phone right now, and just hung up.
So it's around Christmas time, and I work in Nashville, and we have hot chicken. It's like a big, big thing, and like everybody goes there. And I was working one of our busier radios, and all of a sudden it got silent, and that's very rare. And then it just, mic keys up, and they go, it's coming out like lava! And we were just like, did that really happen? So we like marked the unit, and he was good, and he calls us, and he's like, we went to Princess Hot Chicken for our like Christmas party, and it was coming out like lava! And he was like in the bathroom, thinking it was on his talk around channel, but he wasn't. He was on main air telling us it was coming out like lava.
So Sweet Lord. All right. Hopefully none of you have to deal with that later today. No hot lava or anything like that. So, yeah. So, as we go into the wrap-up of this episode, I want to thank all of you for coming out and supporting each other, sharing your IM91 stories, sharing these funny stories. Like I said, we start this out emotional and we get through the hard part, but it's in sharing our stories that we are able to manage the rest that comes with it. Yeah, it's always going to be there with us. But once we share those stories or listen to others share, we're able to manage that then. So thank you again for sharing those stories and then for the funny ass stuff that we just talked about. Thank you. That was really, really good. For those who are listening to the podcast, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that'll be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That is @91podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. This episode, as always, is supported by Indigital, a leader in next-gen court services. And this episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. A round of applause for everybody who shared a story.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.